I'm going to chat with you about getting friendly with music.
You're listening to Free Range Radio on UMFM.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Yes, let's begin. It is Free Range Radio time, and it's Thursday, so it's a steel belted Free Range Radio, don't you know? My name's Jeff. Thanks for being here today. It's an extra special day today for a few reasons. We got some big shows and big stuff to talk about. I got some great new music that I think you're going to love, and most importantly, we're going to have a chat in just a couple of moments with a member of one of my absolute favorite bands of all time. I've been a huge fan of this band for a long, long time, and it's always a pleasure to talk to one of the two sort of great minds behind that band. We are talking about the Skydiggers, who are heading to town next weekend for the Interstellar Rodeo. Very exciting. We're going to talk to Josh in just a couple of moments. But first of all, how about we hear a track off their new record, Here Without You? It is a tribute, I guess, to the songs of Gene Clark. And, well, let's just spin a number off that, and we'll talk to Josh, and hopefully you'll stick around and enjoy the show. This is Steel Belted Radio.
Well, if you think she's everything that you could want, and if you think she's everything that could still think the world turns all around her, and I still wish that she belonged to me. I don't know how I ever could have thought that I let her go just the same, but I found out my world turns all around her, and everywhere I go, I hear her name. Somewhere along the way, I don't know why, I thought that I would want to let her go, but now whenever I see her with you, I realize how much I didn't know. So if you tell her every day you love her, and if you tell her everything she could be, you'll find out that your world will turn around her. You'll feel the same should set her free. You'll find out that your world will turn around her. You'll feel the same if you should set her free.
From the brand new record Here Without You, those are the Skydiggers with a song written by Gene Clark. We are blessed to be speaking with a Skydigger. Oh, one song at a time, Josh. Try to sneak another one in there. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I know I've told you before, Skydigger is one of my favorite bands of all time. You guys have been the soundtrack to my life for a long time. We play a lot of your music on this show, and I just love and admire what you do. I'm so glad you're still out there doing it.
Yeah, well, we're grateful as well. You know, we're very happy that people want to come and see us still, and that we're able to make records. And you never know. You're getting a visit from a band, some good friends of ours, Tragically Hip, tomorrow night. It's a heartbreaking tale for Gord, who's a very good friend of ours, of mine. I did all his solo records with him, and you know, you just realize how fleeting this life is.
Yeah. Are you still surprised to be doing the Skydiggers thing this long into it? Not very many bands last as long as you and the Tragically Hip do. I mean, it's basically you guys, the Tragically Hip, and Blue Rodeo at this point, I think. But
for longevity,
yeah.
I'm not sure that anyone can plan on longevity. I think we feel fortunate that we've been able to do this for as long as we have. But I think one of the things that we've always thought about and considered in the process is just making music that felt relevant to us and felt like something we wanted to do. And as long as we were doing that, then if people responded to it and if people liked it, then we were going to be able to continue to do it. If we're honest with ourselves, then that would reflect in the music, and I think that's and in the audience. So from that perspective, I think that's been a real, and you know, being in the right place at the right time. There's a lot of things in the entertainment industry that you really don't plan on. You know, you go into it with best intentions, and there's lots of great musicians and lots of great songwriters and lots of great bands that haven't had the ride that we have or lots of other bands have had, and that doesn't make them any less relevant or any less good at what they do.
At this point in your careers, you could probably just tour around and play songs off the first three or four albums and be fine, but you guys keep making new records, and as it gets harder and less sensible to make records, you guys just keep doing it. What is it that keeps making it important for you to have new music and keep doing things like this project you just put out?
I think that ultimately as a creative person, you always have to be creating stuff. You know, you have to keep relevant, even if it's just for yourself. I mean, the reality is now that people don't buy music in the same way that they used to. There's a lot more music available. And what we've discovered is recordings are really more, they exist more to promote tours that we do and shows. But they're fairly inexpensive to make in the grand scheme of things. So they are ultimately a bit of an indulgence for us. But hopefully they're relevant. And, you know, the Gene Clark record was a record that, you know, here's a songwriter that we've known for, all of our creative lives and admired. And certainly the band he was in was a big influence on the Skydiggers, the Birds. And we ultimately learned a lot in the process of rediscovering Gene Clark. We knew his stuff in the Birds, and I certainly knew some of his solo stuff, but I didn't realize until we got into the project that he had sung in the Christy Minstrels, and also that his first or second solo record, he sang with Vern Gosden and his brother. Vern Gosden was a country singer later in the 70s and 80s of he's a terrific, terrific singer and a significant country star. And that was a great discovery. That was something that was very cool to learn and to go through that process and listen to some of the demos of that stuff are now available. And even just from a historical perspective, that's a great thing to learn as you're doing this. And that, I mean, I'm not here to teach anyone else lessons, but for me, that makes this project more interesting and significant to me.
Yeah. It's just, there are so many great songwriters, and Gene is certainly one of those people who is perhaps underappreciated. I don't think a lot of people would know that name right away, even though they certainly know a lot of these songs. So what made these songs that special, or this guy that special, that you had to focus just on him for this record?
Well, what the way this recording evolved was Andy Mays had been asked to come in and sing some bird songs, and specifically, he ended up singing a bunch of Gene Clark tunes. I think it was his 70th birthday. It would have been his 70th birthday, and it was they did a bunch of birds tunes, and Andy, you know, some of the songs he knew, but some of them he didn't know, and the ones he didn't know were really just he was having a hard time getting them out of his head, you know, like they were just really sticking with him. And so, you know, he came over and we started talking about it, and he said, you know, I just can't get these songs out of my head. And, you know, and we started reading about it. And most of the songs were written or copywritten in 1965, which was the year the Birds records came out. So our kind of deduction was a lot of these songs were written probably prior to that, and in the time that he was in the New Christy Minstrels and you know, more of a folk musicians, the Beatles, sort of all those guys in the Birds, and you know, they were all in folk groups, and then the Beatles arrived in America, and they all quit their groups and bought electric guitars.
Yeah.
Because you know, because they totally changed the, you know, the face of the business and what people wanted to hear, and frankly, and they're writing their own tunes and all that kind of stuff. So I think that, I mean, our assumption was that he had written a lot of these tunes leading up to 1965. They were copywritten in 1965 because he had signed a publishing deal.
Right.
So we thought it would be kind of cool if we did more of a stripped down version of the tunes with Andy and myself playing, and then Jessie Bellsmith adding some harmony. She's such a terrific harmony singer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the idea was that it was going to be more of a folk record. And then, you know, it evolved. We ended up doing a few more. We did two sessions with Mike Timmons from Cowboy Junkies, and we ended up mostly using the songs from the first session. And, you know, and of course we did 8 Miles High and Feel a Whole Lot Better, which are, you know, obviously is likely his most well-known songs.
For sure, yeah.
And, you know, especially 8 Miles High, it's such an iconic song that doing it, I played it on baritone ukulele, which really kind of changed the whole sort of tone of it. And it was kind of cool because it became more of a... It was almost more of a haunting version, especially with the harmonies in it and the other little bit of instrumentation that we added into it. So it's cool to be able to do, you know, whether it's a great version or not, it at least was a different version, because it's a hard tune to sort of try and do justice to in terms of a cover. It is a pretty icon. There are certain songs that are, you know, pretty tough to cover.
Yeah.
I was personally happy that we kind of found a way into that one that makes it seem relevant.
For sure. And have you had any feedback from his family or anything like that? I mean, does
not yet. No, not that I've heard anyway. You know, I don't know. There was a movie put out a few years ago. A guy in England put it together, and it was, you know, I mean, you know, it's interesting because although, you know, we're certainly fans of his music, I know there's bigger Gene Clark fans than myself or Andy. So I'm always sort of we were reluctant to call it a tribute record to Gene Clark per se, because, you know, I don't sort of feel like I'm an authority on him. and you know, and his life was, you know, he had a pretty tough life,
yeah.
You know, like it was, you know, and I'm not judging him in any way, but it was not a, he had a hard time, clearly with committing to things, and he was a bit of a, you know, a free spirit, which, you know, was probably why he was, people loved him so much. You know, he had, that gave him the ability to be the songwriter that he was. But, you know, I think if you had to rely on Gene Clark, you were probably not in the best way. You know, I think that was a tough thing,
yeah.
About him. And the documentary was, you know, it's certainly not an easy watch, as it were, you know. But he really had a very unique and interesting approach to songwriting. And, you know, now that I've learned a lot more of his stuff, I often wonder whether he had melodies in his head and he wrote the music around those melodies,
right.
Like with guitar. There's a lot of the stuff, like he's going from major to minor chords to very, you know, my first instrument is guitar, but I sort of write on guitar and piano.
Yeah.
And piano's been a great tool for me because I do stuff on it that someone that knows how to play piano wouldn't necessarily do.
Yeah.
You know, and whereas a guitar player, you know, whether I like to admit it or not, I would sort of go back to certain patterns or certain things that I just instinctively do.
Right.
And I guess habitually do. And I find with Gene Clark stuff, it's all very melody driven, and you know, there's a few Here Without You, for example. It's, you know, to this day, I still struggle with remembering the chord sequences because there's not really a pattern to it that
right.
makes a lot of sense. But it's just the melody, and the melody is incredible. And once you hear it, and you know if you like it. It's one of those melodies that you just can't get out of your head.
Yeah.
And it's very cool, you know, like it's not, it's unlike, you know, it's just not very conventional at all.
Right. Now, on this record, it's basically just you and Andy and Jesse Bell Smith, as you said. So was that more because of the project, or is there trouble in the band? Did you break up? Is everything okay?
No.
Are we all still friends?
Yeah. No, we're all still good friends. No, we did it. Like I say, when we thought about doing it, we thought it would be cool to do this in the on the premise or on the assumption that, you know, prior to joining the Byrds, he was more of a folk singer, and that's how we wanted to approach these tunes. And
right.
And so it was just a bit of a diversion and an interesting project, because, you know, often with your own songs, you have to write them, come up with arrangements, and put the band around them, and
yeah.
If you're working with a producer or not. In this case, the songs are written, so it's really just how do you want to present them and what do you want to do with them. And that was sort of a fun exercise too, you know. And so we've done it, and we'll go out and do some more touring with it. And this, we're coming to the Interstellar Rodeo with the full band. That'll be the full band coming out. So, yeah. So we're looking forward to that very much.
Back
to Winnipeg.
When you put this project together, it's very different than the Skydiggers records that we're used to. Was there any discussion about, should we use the Skydiggers name, or should it be Finless and Maze, or any of that?
Well, you know, at this point, it basically, Andy and I are the band.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just... you know, in the past, we did put a duo record,
collective solo record.
Yeah, we got a 2-for-1 deal in the studio. We thought we'd knock, you know, both the solo records off. So we just, you know, what's cool about this is, you know, we do a. You know, we do sort of, well, for instance, in Winnipeg, we'll play the West End, one of our favorite venues in the country. It's sort of a perfect room for us. Yep. Great size, but it's somewhere in between a theater and a cabaret. You know, like people can have a beer, which people typically like to, you know, it's not as formal as a theater.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's more of a show as well. And what's, I think what appealed to us about this record was that we're often now, because there's so many songs and so many records into a career, we often don't have opening bands. We do two sets.
Yeah.
And this is a great sort of opportunity to do a set where it's just Andy and I and Jesse, for instance.
So you can open for yourself.
Yeah. Well, definitely that, but also it sort of breaks up a show.
Yeah.
Too, you know, like even if it's an opening set or partway through a second set, it just gives the show a bit of dynamic and a bit of range. And, you know, those are things that as you do it longer, you realize you want people to leave sort of feeling, you know, like they've gotten an evening's worth of entertainment. Yeah. They're not just hearing, you know, it's not just us sort of showing up and banging out tunes they want to hear. And, you know, it's a challenge for us, and hopefully it's a good challenge for an audience to see us doing this, because it's a bit different. And people have, I mean, you were asking about how people are responding, and it's been really great because now when we do the Gene Clark tour, when it's a four piece, we do have one other instrumentalist with us, multi instrumentalist with us. And we do, you know, the Gene Clark songs, which are, it's only eight tunes, right? So it's not that long. And then we do the rest of the night is Scott Eager's tunes or some traditional tunes. We're doing a few Doc Watson tunes, stuff like that. But it's really interesting. And we're kind of rearranging a bunch of Scott Eager's tunes as well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, more in the configuration of what. So we will do songs from records that we typically wouldn't do with a full band, for instance.
And
so it's a bit of a different, it's something different, hopefully. And I mean, the feedback has been very positive so far.
Yeah. I'm hoping we're not getting cheated here. Do you make this sound like a great evening? I'm guessing you don't have a whole lot of time at the Interstellar Rodeo. So what all are you going to do? Are you just going to cram a bit of all those things into your whatever time you have there?
We'll probably do more of with a full band there. I don't know how much of the Gene Clark songs will be.
Yeah.
We may do a song or two, but, you know, it's an outdoor festival. And it's more of an energy thing. So we'll come and, you know, it'll be, you know, it's sort of a great opportunity just to project that kind of energy, and it'll be fun with the band. And I think we have probably, it's about an hour set on the Saturday afternoon. So we haven't written a set yet, but my guess is that it'll be more up-tempo and more festival style.
Yeah, and I think I got a note from is Michael Johnston's coming again, right? People from Winnipeg might want to know that he spent a lot of time.
No, Michael's going to be joining us. He's there with his family now, isn't he? His wife's family is from Winnipeg, and they are there, and Michael's going to be playing with us, which will be great.
Oh, nice.
He often plays with us, you know, like
yeah,
you know, I mean, he wasn't doing the Gene Clark tour, but you know. He does, we do a run of shows sort of from November through to December, kind of a Christmas themed show that we've been doing for the last few years. And Michael usually does that with us, and that ends at the Horseshoe, a show that we've been doing for about 25 years.
He's certainly been busy. He's got his own music school and stuff. So
just down the road from me. We're neighbors. We live
blocks
apart.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. In High Park, yeah.
So he doesn't make it out here all that often with you guys, but that's a nice little treat, I thought, for the festival coming up.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of tour dates on the schedule, but you're saying there's more to come? Like it looks like it's been a pretty quiet year for you guys, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well we did a fair bit of playing in April and May when the record came out, and we want to do some more playing out west in the fall.
Yeah,
and we will do that, or maybe it'll sort of fall into the new year as well. We want to make a new record next year, a new band record of our own tunes. So we're kind of, you know, what we've been doing the last, it's been about 5 or 6 years now. We've taken April, May, and June to go out and tour across the country, and then take sort of November, December as well to do. That's more Southern Ontario stuff, theaters, and then ending with at the Horseshoe, and then whatever festival stuff comes along. The summer wasn't as busy festival wise as it has been in the past, but you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. So, but it'll be busy again. We didn't come to Winnipeg this year because
we were doing the
Interstellar Rodeo.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be back sooner rather than later anyway.
Yeah, we definitely
the full
will
show.
Be.
That's very good to hear. Now, Josh, I just got to ask you, on Sunday afternoons, I have a show here on UMFM called Tell the Band to Go Home. It's named after an album by Paul McLeod that he recorded when he was on tour with you guys. We just lost Paul McLeod recently. I wondered if you could say anything about your time with Paul or what he meant to the band.
Well, I can tell you that Paul was, I love Paul. We all love Paul.
Yeah.
Paul was an incredible talent and, you know, a remarkably smart man. And, you know, to me, the best tribute I can pay to Paul is our record Desmond's Hip City, which he played on. He and Gavin Brown joined the band after Peter Cash had left and Peter Von Alten had left the band. And they totally, you know, kicked us in the ass and made us, you know, into a different band. I don't want to say better, but ultimately it was better because it really propelled us ahead. And, you know, to some people, Desmond's Hip City was a real departure. And of course it was because Peter Cash wasn't in the band, but it was what was necessary at the time. And, you know, Paul was such a big part of that and brought such great energy to the band. And I miss him, and will miss him always. And I, I just can't say enough about him. I think about him all the time.
Well, that's great. He left a mark on a lot of people. I only got to talk to him a few times, and the last time I think I talked to him was he played with you guys at the Glenn Gould Studio in Toronto. A few years ago, I'll certainly cherish that show for sure.
Well, he was a real, he had just a great heart and a very generous guy, you know. He was very gifted and very smart, but not, never patronizing or, you know, like he was very supportive of people.
Right.
And I include myself in that, you know, like I'm very grateful to have the records that we made together and the memories of the shows that we played and did. You know, that to me is a great thing to it certainly lives on in me.
Yeah, well, I and a lot of people would certainly thank you. You got a huge boost from being in your band, and you guys let him open the shows all the time. And
yeah, well, so he was, you know, he reciprocated. I mean, it was, you know, he elevated the band, and that was a mutual thing.
Awesome. Well, thanks for talking to us, Josh. It is always a treat and always a pleasure. And I'll tell you again that I love the band, and I'm so glad you're out there. And hopefully you'll keep doing it, and hopefully we'll see you again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Will we see you at the Interstellar Rodeo?
You know, I there's a conflict this year. My two favorite festivals are on the same weekend, and I think Interstellar is going to lose the coin toss, but it's tearing me apart inside a little bit.
What is the other festival?
It's called the Trout Forest Music Festival. It's in Ear Falls, Ontario. It's a beautiful, beautiful little thing. I just I love it so much. So it's hurting me a bit.
Did you say ear as in
ear
of corn?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Whereabouts is your fault?
It's kind of by Kenora, I guess. It's a little farther north. There's a town called Red Lake that you might have heard of up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a mining town?
Yeah. There's a lot of that around. They have a lot of fishing camps and stuff like that out there.
Cool.
So that'll be fun. If that's the case, it'll be one of the very few Skydigger shows that I've ever missed.
Jeff will be back. I can assure you.
Very good.
I look forward to saying hello to you again, and thanks for taking the time to do this.
It's always a pleasure. Do you have a favorite on the record that we can go out with?
I will say, I'm going to say 8 Miles High. It is my favorite. If I can request that one.
You absolutely can. Thank you so much. And I hope you get here safely and, have a great night.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care, man.
Sun.
Beauty there from the Skydiggers. Always liked that one. That's a Josh Finlayson song called Handy Mart off the album City of Sirens. Great to talk to Josh once again here on the program. Such a talent and just a great mentor and support to so many bands. Just have the greatest respect for that guy and that band. Before that, we heard a Paul McLeod song off the album Bittersweet Harmony. The Skydiggers there with See You Again. And something from the new record, Here Without You, The Songs of Gene Clark. We heard the classic 8 Miles High. And definitely encourage you to check out the record. And definitely go see him this weekend at the Interstellar Rodeo. If Stan here is in the plans, then that's where you should be. I'm a little torn myself, but you know, Josh promised he'd be back. Speaking of being back, hello, hi, another special guest. Two. Oh, there are two special guests. Well, there's only one in the studio, though. Do you want to say hello, special guest?
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
You know.
I know, but the folks might not know.
Jeremy.
the always entertaining Jeremy Robson. Welcome. How's it going? Nice to have you back again. It's been a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Where you been yet? You haven't been here for most of the program so far.
I was not wanting to come.
How come?
Don't know.
Oh.
Right. And the other special guest is Carter.
Yeah.
Where's he? He's just finding Pokemon.
He's hanging out at the lure or what?
Yes.
Did you find him or you didn't want to?
I can't remember where we were last time.
Oh.
Like, I recognize it, but I don't see it. Like, out the window.
Okay, well, maybe we can help figure that out in a minute.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? Any, jokes or facts or questions?
No!
You know what I haven't done yet? I haven't told people the phone number if they want to phone me or phone you. Do you remember what it is?
204-794-8855.
That's my phone number. I was talking about the station phone number.
269-269-8366.
Close. 8636 or 269 UMFM.
UMFM.
It's easy to remember. So yeah, you can give us a call here. You can send me an email, jeff@tellthebandtogohome.com. Find us on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter. All right. So
tweet me.
I'll tweet you. All right.
Is
it all right if I play a song now, sir?
Yes.
I know you told me not to go see this band in concert tomorrow, but I have to.
Which one is it?
Remember in the car you said don't go see that band. And I was like, well, I have to.
That band? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to come.
One of the greatest bands of all time.
You say all bands are the greatest bands in all time.
Not all of them, but there are certainly a few.
Like 100.
I got favorites. What can I say? I like
millions.
A lot of music. I like music.
Too much.
Yeah.
You need to stop to be in music prison.
No, that's never going to happen.
You do not like music. And Mom, you do not like music either.
Well, it's...
Well, you're not really into music, so I kind of forgive you. Not Dad.
Yeah. All right. Well, tomorrow may be the last chance you ever get to see the Tragically Hip here in Winnipeg, so...
Who's Tragical Hips?
So if you can get yourself a ticket, and I do have a feeling there might be some around tomorrow. There's also a little lottery that you can go up on their website and sign up for a little draw where they're offering you the opportunity to buy a pair of tickets.
Lottery.
The weird thing is, if you win the lottery, they don't tell you where the tickets are or anything, I don't think. You just got to go down there and either buy them or not buy them. And,
lottery.
Yeah.
Not lottery. I love a lottery.
Okay.
Am I ever going to go in lottery?
I don't know.
No.
I'm going to play the song now, Jer. Why don't you tell the folks what they're listening to, and it's not...
UMFM.
Okay.
Wait, what is it?
Well, I was just going to say it's Steel Belted Radio, not Tell the Band to Go Home.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Just give me the news. It can all be lost. Exciting or fair, or the right thing at the right time. Everything is clear, just how you describe the way it appears. A world possessed by the human mind. Then I think I smiled. Then I think you said smile. And quietly I dressed in the world completely possessed by the human mind.
Systematic left your house this morning. Just a little after nine. Could have been the Willie Nelson. Could have been the wine. But I left your house this morning. Was a little after nine. It was in Bob Caton where I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star at a time. Drove back to town this morning. Working on my mind, I thought of maybe quitting. Thought of leaving it behind. Went back to bed this morning. And as I'm pulling down blind, the sky was dull and hypothetical and falling one cloud at a time. That night in Toronto with its checkerboard floors, riding horseback, keeping order restored to the men they couldn't hang, stepped up to the mic and sang, and their voices rang with that Aryan twang. To your house this morning, just a little after nine, middle of that riot, couldn't keep you off my mind. I'm at your house this morning, just a little after nine, 'cause it was in Bob Cajun I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star.
There we go. That's a beautiful rendition of the Tragically Hip's classic Bob Cajun, as rendered by Martin Tielli of the Rio Statics. Before that, we heard a couple of Tragically Hip classics, Nautical Disaster, and from the new record, Man Machine Poem. I sure do dig that song, In the World Possessed by the Human Mind. They will be in town tomorrow for what is perhaps the last time ever. So, you know, check your old Ticketmaster tomorrow, or enter that little lottery on their website or whatever it takes. And hopefully we'll see you there. I'm going to take a quick break and come back with some more upcoming show news and some new music and whatever else we can fit in. Stay with us.